Michelle, I want you to share with me something of your family and home background as a little girl and as you grew up in early years.
Okay, right, thank you very much. I was born and brought up in Australia for the first 10 years of my life, and I was brought up in a Christian home, which was a great privilege, where I learned the Word of God, and through my mother running a good news club through CEF, I also learned of my need to be saved. But that didn't happen till later on in life, and when I was about 10, my parents split up, and my mother and my brother and my sister and myself moved back to Northern Ireland, where we ended up moving up to Portrush then and settling there, and that's where we've been.
So that's when we first met you, when you came to Portrush. What age were you whenever you came to Portrush at that time?
I would have been 10 when I first arrived.
10 years of age. So you remember school days all right?
Oh yes.
I remember you all coming to Portrush very, very clearly. Tell me, what influences of the gospel were in your life at that time, Michelle?
At that point in time in my life, I was attending Sunday school. And I was also attending church in the morning and the evenings, and gospel services also, and missions that were on. Mm-hmm. So the gospel was always there around me, but unfortunately at that point in time in my life, I didn't. I knew the need of salvation, I knew the sin problem, but I had never actually done anything about it myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So did you think about getting saved at all?
Whenever I was 6 and my sister was 8, she came home from a girls' brigade camp, and she had actually got saved, and I was a bit annoyed because she was getting a lot of fuss made about her and said that I wanted this Jesus person that she had also.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't a true profession, so I actually thought I had been saved. I did class myself as a Christian, but I had never actually repented of my own sin.
So let's come into your teenage years then, Michelle. I know something of the background of those years, and I want you to share with us just how your life developed in those years.
I was a very angry teenager. With my parents separating, I blame my mother for anything wrong that happened in my life, and I became a very bitter teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't relate well to my family, and ended up then going, when I was about 17, 18, heading into the world and into drink and clubbing and smoking and all the trappings that the world actually holds out there.
In Portrush?
Started that in Portrush, and then when I was 19, I had the opportunity to go to university and decided that I wanted to go to England because I wanted to get as far away from Northern Ireland as possible, where prying eyes couldn't see me, so that I could enjoy the pleasures of the world.
And have your fling.
Yes.
Did you have your fling?
I did, and I've regretted it, but the Lord has...
How many years did you pursue that kind of lifestyle?
That would have been until September 2001.
And you were what age then?
I was 23.
23. Michelle, you see many young people who go down this road or along this road, and maybe you want to tell us a little bit about how you felt when you were in that kind of pursuit.
When I was in that type of pursuit, I know that my whole aim in life was I had to work hard, because anything that I wanted, I had to work to get. I found it very tiring. You couldn't trust anybody, because I mean everybody else in the world is trying their hardest to get what they want and to achieve what they want, and the only way to do that in the world is to stamp on other people.
Mm-hmm.
I find it quite lonely, although I was always trying to make friends with people, and so therefore you were always out all the time, but it wasn't a happy place at all. I can honestly say that there's no real joy. There is no joy, and that's what I was looking. I was seeking for contentment and joy, and I kept thinking if I just work out a wee bit more, get that little bit more money, spend more money in the pub with my friends, then I would have this, but I never ever reached that.
Do you think that is the general kind of frame that young people find themselves in?
I do, yes. I think young people today are still the same. It's a case of work hard, play hard, and that's where you'll find your happiness. And yes, you will for a short time, but it's not a lasting happiness or a lasting contentment.
Yeah, funny you're talking like this. You know, a week or so ago, I just met a young lady in Portrush, and she was shivering. You know, she was in one of these food outlets, and I'd gone in to get some food for that evening meal. And I said, it's quite cold today, isn't it? She says, yeah, it is. Must be because of all the drink I had last night. So she looked kind of like she was shivering and cold, I suppose, maybe lonely too.
It is very lonely. It is, and no matter how much you go out at night and you maybe have a good night, but you come home on your own and you come down, you're feeling down when you come home.
Did you ever go on the drug kind of scene? Did you kind of steer clear of that?
I was quite fortunate with the friends that I had, but I would actually say that was God looking down upon me and a praying mother who prayed that I would have a hedge around about me, but that it would be a prickly hedge, and everything that I had learnt as a child, that I wouldn't fall too far, that these things would start mm-hmm. to prick my conscience. Mm-hmm. I did experiment with smoking cannabis. I didn't really enjoy it, but I did it to be in with the crowd, but I never touched anything else. I was too frightened.
Okay, sure. We were praying for you, Michelle, at that time. We really were, dear. But the Lord began to change all that for you, Michelle, and that's an amazing and wonderful story. I want you to really tell that story and tell it to our people who are listening today, Michelle.
Okay. When I was over at university, I got engaged to a fellow that was the year above me at college. I left university, and we were actually living together in England for about a year and a half. Till I found out that he was seeing other people, which completely destroyed my world. I came home back to Northern Ireland, and I hadn't been in Northern Ireland for 2 years before that. I came home for a cousin's wedding and realised that my life wasn't going anywhere, and I was too young at 20, 21, 22 to be throwing it all down the drain. So I moved back home and I started working in Coleraine, and then about a year later I was made redundant. At this point in time, I was out and I was talking to my friends, and we were talking about God, and we talked about what happens after this life, what is the purpose of life. And I discovered that every single one of my friends had their ideas, and they all believed in God. And that was my biggest problem: who made God and where did he come from? So I started reading a book called The Lie by Ken Ham, and also started going back to church. Although I didn't want my mother to know, because I knew she was praying for me, and I didn't. And I kept saying to people, don't tell my mother you've seen me here tonight. That went on for quite a wee while, until I was at a meeting one night and R.T. Kendall was speaking on forgiveness. He was speaking to the Christians and saying that in order for God to bless you and for you to move on with the potential that he and for the plan he has in your life, you have to give up all past hurts and give them up to him, so and give them over to him. You can't hold on to them, because they destroy you. And I remember sitting there that night and the tears were just flowing down my cheeks, and I remember saying to myself, stop this, because as a mm-hmm. child, when you heard people giving their testimony and saying, I sat in church and I cried, I used to say to myself, catch yourself on, you know, crying mm-hmm. in church. Never thought it would happen to me, and it did. My problem was, I realised I had absolutely nobody to give my past hurts to, nobody to just give it all up, all the past hurts of the broken family, of the broken relationship myself that I had with the way my life was going, all the hurts that come with the world. I had nowhere to give those hurts up to. I started going along to New Horizon at that point in time as well. It was just that summer, and I started reading the Bible again. I remember saying to my old Bible class teacher, who used to take me to church, he never stopped keeping in contact with me even when I was at university. Mm-hmm. And he was saying to me, Michelle, you need to read daily notes, and he gave me daily notes to read. And he said, just keep reading your word and praying. It would have been about 4 months after this time that I just kept thinking to myself, I can't give up the world. I can't stop going. I wouldn't be able to stop going to the pub. I wouldn't be able to stop drinking. I wouldn't be able to stop swearing. I couldn't keep this life. And it wasn't until I got to the point that I realised that God was calling me. And I knew that if I didn't ask for forgiveness of my sin and ask for the Lord to come into my life, that I was going to eternity, lost eternity mm-hmm. in hell without mm-hmm. God. And that did terrify me, but I also knew that it had to be a true profession, that I had to mean it with my whole heart. And it wasn't until one night I was talking with my mother, and she just said, you know, Michelle, just be careful, because in Genesis it talks about how my spirit will not always strive with thee. Mm-hmm. And I knew that the Lord was calling me, and I knew all these things were coming back to me from childhood that I thought I'd forgotten as I started to read the Bible, and it started to make sense to me. And it was about 2 o'clock one Sunday morning. It was the 2nd of September. I'd been talking with my mother for 2 hours on the end of her bed, and she was saying, I'm getting tired, and I started to shake, and then I was crying because I just knew that I had all these questions, and she gently reminded me that I will never know all the answers to all the questions I have, but as I seek, I will find. And I just told her that night that I couldn't go to bed until I was right with God, and got down on my knees, and I asked God for forgiveness of the sin in my life, and I asked him to come into my life and to help me to live a life that was pleasing to God, and that's really where it all
And that
turned.
Was what year again?
That was 2001.
And I'm sure from that night that you sought the Lord, you saw the change. Did you feel a change?
When I was first saved, I expected to feel this joy that everybody talks about, this immense joy. But when I was first saved, I can honestly say, because it was such a battle between Satan was pulling me, saying, don't go, you can't do it, and the Lord saying, come, you know, I'll help you, mm-hmm. that I was physically and mentally exhausted. So whenever I actually did come to the Lord, I felt a peace, and I was absolutely exhausted, but a real deep peace is what mm-hmm. I would describe it as. It wasn't until about a week later that the joy started to flood in, as I realized that what I had was eternal security. And mm-hmm. as I started to talk to my unsaved friends, the joy of what the Lord had done in my life was mm-hmm. coming through, and I realized that it's through Christ who strengthens me that I can do things. It's not on my own strength. I can't do that. It has to be through the Holy Spirit.
Thank you so much, Michelle.
Thank you.